So here we are, finally, the last sermon in this series, The Savior is Born. And I've enjoyed it over the past few months, going through the Old Testament, seeing what took place. I hope that it has been educational and, you know a little bit more about Old Testament and what took place there and kind of when it did and what was going on. And I hope that you also see this work that God continued to do throughout time, throughout all of our failings and all the craziness of life and craziness of the Old Testament, that God was continuing to work to bring about His plan of salvation. And now, today, we get to talk about this hope, that this hope has arrived. Let us remember just a little bit about hope and what hope is. That, you know, a lot of times we use hope to talk about this wishful thinking. I hope this will happen, or I hope this doesn't happen. I hope that you have a good day. It's more of, you know, these good thoughts that we have, but this biblical hope talks about God being a God of hope. This hope is much more concrete. It is one of expectation. We don't have it yet, so therefore we are waiting for it to come. That is the biblical hope. It's not Christmas yet. We have three more days, but we know it's coming, right? So therefore, we have hope. We wait for it with anticipation, knowing that it will be here, but it's not here yet. Throughout time, God promised this Savior to be born. There was hope. Hope that this Messiah would come, but He hadn't come yet. And now, as we get to talk about this time, now this hope has arrived. And you have this wonderful moment from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let's remember one last time this history of the Old Testament. It's important. It's important to know where it is that we came from. And the more that we understand the Old Testament, the more we can understand the New Testament. And, I hope that you haven't grown leery and tired of telling this story of the Old Testament, but I hope it has stuck with you, that you too would be able to tell this story. We know that in the beginning, there was nothing, this chaotic nothingness. And we have that God created, right? God said, "Let there be," and there was. And the earth took shape, and there were plants and animals, and then In that final step of creation, he created us. We were something different, something special. He said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, God created them. In his image, we were created. He formed us out of the dust of the ground and then breathed into us life. And the whole purpose was so that we could be with him. He put us in this beautiful garden, everything we needed. And he would come down in the cool of the day and walk with Adam and talk with him. And this was the plan, right? To be in this place where we had everything and we could just be with God. But as we often do, we messed it up. And we sinned. We did what God said not to do. We called what is evil good. And what is good, evil. And we said, you know, God has said this thing, but I would really like it to be this way instead. And we listened to those lies of the enemy. And we took from that tree that was forbidden. And I say we, even though we weren't there, it was Adam and Eve. I say we because I can't say that I would have done any different. I would like to say that I would do differently, but then I look around and see how I behave, and I say, I would have done the same thing. But God had a plan, and he was making that plan happen. Adam and Eve had to leave the garden because they had sinned. God could not allow that to continue on. Adam and Eve had children. Those children had children. You had this multitude of people, but their thoughts were evil continually. That's all they sought to do was evil and to do their own thing rather than do God's thing. God in his grace and his mercy pulled Noah and his family out. And in the flood, all others were wiped away. This fresh, clean start with Noah and his family. Through Noah's family, Abraham was born. And God plucked out Abraham and he said, I am going to make of you a people, a nation, so that you will be a blessing to all other nations. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had his 12 sons. They ended up in Egypt. They were enslaved for 430 years. God brought in Moses and Moses pulled them out of Egypt. He brought them to the promised land. Joshua led them into the promised land. They wiped out their enemies, and then they began to fall away from God. Judges were brought up to defeat Israel's enemies, to judge for the people of Israel what is right and what is wrong. And when those judges passed away, the people once again fell back into their ways of sin. They cried for a king. We want a king. Everybody else has a king. We need a king too. And so God said, fine, have a king. David was a great and wonderful king who sought the ways of God to do what was right. But then his children after him did not do so well. And they began to fall away. They began to follow their own ways. Israel again was in trouble. Their enemies came around them. And eventually, they were captured. They were taken away. We have prophets that came in, that God raised up to tell people what was going on, to warn them about what was going to happen, to tell them this hope and this promise for what was to come, and to remind them that they have to follow after God. And then we get this last prophet, Malachi, and we have this 400 or so years of silence. Silence from God. Lots of stuff going on still in Israel. You had the Greeks come in. You had the Romans come in. Lots of turmoil and things happening. But what from God? This silence. But then this one night, these shepherds were out in this field, tending to their work, tending to these sheep. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the skies, comes this angel with this glory of God around him, and the shepherds were frightened. That would be a frightening moment. I mean, these are shepherds we're talking about, right? They're used to being out there. They're used to being out in the field by themselves. They're used to defending the sheep from wolves and bears, whatever else might come around. They're used to all of that. But here you have this angel and the glory of God shine, and they are afraid. And what is the first word that this angel says to them? He says, "Fear not. Fear not." God was doing something that was good. He was bringing about his hope and his promise. There was no reason to fear. This is a reason to be joyful. The angel says to them, "Behold." Behold, you know, we have so many things going on in our life. So much stuff happening. This year has just been a whirlwind. Like I said, last year, man, I was really anticipating this time of Christmas, and I soaked up every moment of it. It was wonderful and beautiful. And this year, it's just like, whoa, Christmas is in 3 days. I am not ready for that. But here it is. Behold, light, stop everything that you're doing. I have a message for you. I have to tell you something that is very important. Behold, put our focus and attention on God, because what God is saying to us is far more important than anything else that is happening. The angel says, "I bring you good news." Good news. This phrase, "bring you good news," is where we get the term evangelize. That's what evangelism is, bringing good news. And you know, it's easy for us to share about the football game that we watched last night, or this restaurant that we tried out that was really good. It's easy for us to talk about those things, right? How easy is it for us to talk about the good things of God? If we are with him, if we have a relationship with him, there is always something good to share. And that good news needs to be shared. People need to hear it. That is evangelism. These angels, these messengers came to evangelize, to give these people this good news. Not simply good news, but good news of great joy. As Brinley read so eloquently earlier, that joy is different than happiness. Joy goes deeper than happiness. It is more a state of being. That doesn't mean that everything in our life is going well and we're happy and laughing and smiling. It means that we have this joy inside of us because of what God has done. This news is news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people, not just some. These were shepherds. If you remember, back in those times, shepherds were not thought of well. And I don't know what it is about, like, manual labor that makes people look down on the, you know, right? Like, every society has always looked down on people who did the manual labor. But without those people, nothing would be done, right? And so, but this is for all people. That means it puts all people on the same field. It is all equal. We are all equal. We all need this news that God has for us. This salvation that is to come is for all of us. None of us are better than anybody else. It's for the white-collar manager. It's for the blue-collar shepherd. Like, all of us need this news. What is this news? Unto you is born. I find that phrase very interesting. Unto you is born. Here we have this sweet, precious baby, right? who was not born unto me. I wasn't the father. But here in this phrase, we have unto you is born, right? So here is this child that is being born and saying unto me, unto you, for you. That this child was something special, not just a child from their parents, but this child was meant for everybody. Like, this is a gift for each one of us. Unto you is born in the city of David. Remember, we talked about David. David, how he followed after God. He was certainly not perfect, but he followed after God. And God promised him, he said, hey, I will establish your throne forever. So this is that promise being fulfilled in the city of David, that Jesus came from this lineage of David and that he was going to sit on that throne. And then we have this wonderful word, Savior. Savior. And what do we need saving from? Everything. I mean, despite God giving Israel the law, they couldn't follow it. Despite God bringing Israel's enemies in to capture them and to take them away, to remind them, like, hey, remember me. Your salvation is in me. This was his discipline, right? He's disciplining them. Despite all of that, they still just kept following after their own ways. Despite all of our efforts, we continue to fall and do what is right in our own eyes. But this Savior is born. Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's a loaded phrase right here. Savior, who is Christ, that is Messiah, right? This is the one that you have been waiting for. That word right there says, this is the moment. This is the guy. All of those prophecies, all these things you've been waiting and longing for, like, this is it. This is Christ. This is Messiah. He has been born. And then we get the Lord. This is not Lord as in the name of God, but is a title. What is that title? That he is master of all, because he was there before all and created all. And this will be a sign for you. A sign. Which means, again, this really happened, right? Like, here are these shepherds. They're hearing this angel declare these things. And like, hey, this is a sign for you. Like, oh man, like, this is for real, for real. This isn't just some words, some good stuff that somebody's throwing out there. Like, this has actually happened. A sign for you. He will be lying in a manger. That this was the king of all, right? This is Lord, Master. This is Christ, the Messiah, the one who is promised. This is the Savior. This is the one to sit on the throne of David. I mean, here is this heavenly entourage that comes to announce his birth, and he's lying in a manger? Not in the rebel camp, not with the king and the king's court. No, but he has come for each one of us where we are. And the angels make this declaration. Glory to God in the highest. Always, always remember to give God the glory. And then peace among those with whom he is pleased. How can he be pleased with me? I don't know. How can he be pleased enough with any of us to actually send his son into this world? His grace, His mercy goes beyond my understanding. But yet here it is. Here are the words that He sent His messengers to proclaim to us: peace among those with whom He is pleased. Peace. Then how do the shepherds respond? Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They didn't respond and say, look, we're really busy. We got these sheep here, and they're going to be hungry tomorrow. We really need to get some good sleep so that we can take them to do their things. Like, we've been charged with these sheep, right? This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take care of these sheep. So we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing, taking care of these sheep. They didn't say, oh, wow, that seems really nice and really cool, but it's just not really my thing. No, they went to the Savior. And what are we supposed to do? Go to this Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but I look around the world and it's tiring. It's tiring. I mean, there's just so much turmoil. There's so much bad news. You turn on the news or you read the paper and it's this bad thing happening and that bad thing happening, and here are these people who got shot in this war over here in this place and this natural disaster over there, and it's just like one thing after another. I try not to get political because I really don't care where you are, Republican or Democrat. I don't care, but I think we can all agree to look at our political system that's going on right now, and it's just embarrassing. I mean, acting like children on all sides. And, you know, the thing is, like, it's there's no other country where it's better, right? No other country where their politics are like the cream of the crop of what we're really supposed to be doing. No, all over. It's just ridiculous. And then I look at my own life and it's like, man, I can't seem to do the things that I want to do. I look around in our community and there's just, you know, there's these people that need to know the Word of God, and there's people in our churches that hear the Word of God, but they just don't ever really take it to heart. We have people within our own church that, you know, won't forgive each other, that these things happen, and they're like, oh, well, you know, they treated me wrongly this time, and so I'm going to sit over here, and I'm not going to talk to them. And even in our own community, we have over 30 churches within our own community. And the longer that I'm here, the more I get to hear about how some of these churches were formed, and, you know, that this decision was made, and people weren't happy with it, so they went over here, and they formed their own church, and you know, this thing happened over there, and so they wanted to decide to do this other thing. And it's like, here, this is the people of God. This is the people who claim to be Christ followers. Like, what are we doing? We still can't put our own selves back and put God as head and Lord of our lives. Why? Because we need a Savior. And time again, we continue to try to save ourselves. We try to do what is right for our own selves. Isaiah says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men and mixing strong drink, who acquit the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of his right. Malachi says, you have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? By saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or by asking, where is the God of justice? Where is the God of justice? He has arrived. He is here. And nearly 2,000 years ago, he was born in Bethlehem, lying in a manger. He made known what was happening through these angels. The shepherds came, the wise men, they saw the signs, and they went and sought Jesus out. It took a couple of years for them to get there, but they made it there, and they made known who this Jesus was. Jesus, our Savior, was born. And how shall we respond? By going to him. By bowing our knee and saying, God, I can't do it. I cannot do it on my own. I need you. And to share that good news, to evangelize with the world around us. Hey, I know all this crazy stuff is going on. I know you're fed up with it as much as I am. But listen, there's good news. A Savior was born. He will save us from our sin. He will give us what our hearts truly long for. A Savior has been born. Let us pray. God, too many times we have tried to save ourselves. We have sought our own will. We have tried our own governments. We have done our own things, tried to declare our own justice. And time again, we have failed. But you brought into this world your salvation. And God, we know that you are God and that you are Lord of all and that you do not fail. So we pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our pride to try to stand where we need to kneel. Forgive us, God, for holding on to that unforgiveness when you have already paid the price, bled for their sins, just as you bled for mine. God, we pray that you would forgive us. And we thank you for that forgiveness. God, we pray that in this time, in this season, that we would not get so caught up in all the stuff, in all the celebrations, in all the presents, in all the lights, but we would remember why we do it. We would remember what it is they are for, that our hearts would be still before your throne. God, we pray that we would share this good news with the people around us, with the people in this community who so desperately need to know your love. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.